is dead.
Better way than to actually access the fabulous world of the comedy gold. And if we're talking comedy gold, there's only one person we can call upon this year. It's tradition, let's face it. More Cromwell-wise, yes, James Bond movies, fine. But at the end of the day, doing a pre-Christmas show without the legend that is Bruce Dessau, ridiculous. Isn't that right, Bruce? How are you?
Well, thank you. I nearly fell off my chair when you said that, but that's very kind. Thanks.
It's always good to share the smiles with yourself, Bruce, which is always positive. And here we are, Comedy Channel Girls, 25 Days of Christmas, festive TV programmes every evening until Christmas, and we've got those top 10 jokes once again. The punchlines are actually there, the top 10 funniest festive jokes for 2014. And I know we deliver them so well. I mean, let's go with number 10. Why is the Great British Bake Off like the Nativity?
I don't know. Why is the Great British Bake Off like the Nativity?
Because the star is in the east. do you think that we're improving? I mean, certainly topicality is something which is pretty critical as far as this year's concerned. I mean, we've got David Cameron, got UKIP, Nigel Farage mentioned in there from that point of view. In fact, UKIP get lots of subtle mentions here. Could almost be as they've paid the scriptwriters to come up with this.
Yes, and these are all, well, these are jokes submitted by the general public. Mm. These aren't hot shot comedy writers. These are the, you know, this was a competition open to everybody. And actually, I shouldn't name names, but some professional comedians did enter this, but it was actually members of the public that did better. It's interesting. Just shows we're a nation of punmeisters, I suppose.
Absolutely. Well, Lynn Newton, of course, is the author of The Winning Joke, £1,500 that she's actually picked up from that point of view, and a box of gold crackers. Yes. So Grace Point from that point of view. And her husband's 50 at the end of the year, so it's going to be a surprise holiday. So well done for that. I was looking, before we actually reveal the winner, of course, quite fascinated by the ones which didn't quite make the cut. What girl band sells the cheapest variety of Christmas food, of course, being a classic? Little Mix.
And yes, you say the answers because you deliver it.
Do you think so?
Me.
Well. I'll tell you what. You bowl me the question, and let's see if I can actually sort of match this whole thing forward. So roll up any of the whole thing, and I'll hopefully sort of respond in kind.
Okay. Should I do one of the winning top tens?
Okay. You can tell the rehearsals work so well on this. That's
I'm just picking one that's suitable for broadcast.
Well, that's always good. I think we're all pretty much okay, though. I was a little bit worried at one sort of instance, but no, I think we're okay.
This one. This one that came in at number four was interesting because you think all the classic Christmas corny jokes have been made about snowmen, but this, as far as I know, this seems to be an original joke. So here's one, and that is could be a classic of the future. What did the snowman say to the aggressive carrot?
Get out of my face!
Exactly. You know, that's
genius.
That could have been made. Maybe people weren't so aggressive 10 years ago. Maybe it's a reflection of people being more aggressive now.
Or possibly the snow rage. You know, that's a classic line that could be there. There's the snowman like an oh, anyway, there's all sorts of things within that. clearly, Luis Suarez comes in with the classic line, how does he like his Christmas dinner? Answer, bite-sized.
Yeah.
for that. The one line is the Christmas cracker, which in so many ways people actually groan. I mean, it's almost a peculiar British tradition, really, because I don't think it really translates that well to the States, does it? I mean, our colleagues in Los Angeles might be listening to this say Christmas crackers. What's that all about then? You know, what's happening there?
Yeah, it's one of those strange British things. I don't know, one of those weird. But then we probably think they've probably got some weird habits in America, haven't they? Although they seem to be catching on over here now as well.
Don't get me started on Black Friday. But that's a different line entirely from that sort of point of view. You see, they're online already just sort of complaining about that. Oh, goodness me. It's outrageous.
I think we just like, there's something about the English language that lends itself to wordplay and puns and jokes. I mean, someone was saying, was explaining something to me the other day about you can't make jokes in German. Or you can't make the same type of jokes in German because the verb comes at the end of the sentence.
And not that they are genetically without a sense of humour.
Well, phone lines will get red hot if you say that. But there's something about the English language, with the way we can play with words. And, you know, we seem to have words that have more than one meaning. Mm. So you can sort of twist things around. you know, in fact, should I announce the winning joke? Because that's a sort of,
you know,
play on,
I mean,
words.
It is a classic on that sort of point of view. And I mean, the number one festive funniest joke officially for 2014, as indeed written by the aforementioned delightful soul, Lynn, which we'll refer to her, because that's the song. She came up with this particular routine. And I think you could, what will be missing from Take That's Christmas stocking this year?
An orange.
Yay, Jason, I could see, smiling all the way to his Christmas dinner, as we actually heard that, and it's nice to see it was there. As opposed to politics, because presumably as we head to the general election year of 2015, political jokes will be coming more and more to the fore, possibly.
Yeah, we might have to ban some of these. There's, you know, UKIP figured quite
they
quite
did, yeah. I mean, I got a UKIP advent calendar. It's rubbish, all the doors keep slamming shut. Of course, why won't Santa visit? It's Nigel Farage, because he only comes if you sleep, not if you kip.
Yeah, it's wordplay. It's clever.
But I still like the sort of line in terms of why does Santa put chimneys on Tinder? Because he wants them to be swept right.
That's fantastic. one for the Tinder fans
out
there.
It is.
It's clever. I mean, they are really, I mean, they're jokes like that. It may be in 25 years, no one will understand them. You know, Tinder, it's one of these, you know, dating websites. Maybe it'll go out of fashion and people will forget about it. Whereas snowman and carrot jokes, you know, maybe
timeless.
They'll be telling those.
Timeless. In the 21st and the end of the 22nd century, perhaps.
Well, I don't know. Carrots might be little orange pills by then or something, rather than noses. But
Bruce, we often ask you this question, but when you're actually looking at these jokes, are there sometimes when you just, you almost kind of have to have a lie down because you just feel as though you're humoured out? You know, I mean, I know you're a comedy critic, but, you know, ultimately it's a case of, look, enough already.
No, I have to say, genuine answer, no. I mean, well, there's two answers to that. I wouldn't say I laugh out loud at many of these jokes, but I certainly smile on the inside at all of them. No, they all made me chuckle on the inside.
2,000 British adults, of course, voted online to the best of the knowledge of the surveys carried out in terms of the best way forward in terms of top five festive favourite jokes. The panel of girl judges obviously selected them. And, of course, a reminder, as we came in at the whole start, the Comedy Channel Gold, 25 Days of Christmas, showing festive TV programmes every evening until Christmas, and that's of course available on Sky Channel 110, Virgin 126, Top Up TV 26, and BT 855, where you can always use that internet thing, which is goldtv.co.uk. It was a lot simpler, Bruce, where you could just say BBC One or ITV, etc. But now it's all over. Still, never mind.
Actually, they've changed their website address. Can I correct?
Of course, yes.
It's now gold.uktv.co.uk.
And that, Bruce, is why you are the ace comedy critic, to get that message across there. Get the brand in. It's essential from that point of view.
Thanks.
Brilliant stuff. And as I say, as Jason Orange sort of goes off into the sunset, leaving Take That with Take 3, 2, 1, etc. Who knows? Maybe it'll just sort of motor way through. We've got those two final questions that we usually ask you at this time, and also sometimes during the course of the year as well. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
Couldn't be better.
Well, mildly amusing is good. That's always very positive. And can we look forward to hopefully featuring you again in 2015 as our genuine humour specialist extraordinaire?
If you invite me back, I'd love to come back. Yes, thank you.
Always important that we actually sort of produce a mild sense of amusement to at least offset the wave of depression and the storm cloud of disappointment that clearly our Newcastle United supporting fan will be suffering this morning. Never mind, Ian, it was only Tottenham and it was only four.
Yes, thank you very much.
Well, that's just, you know, it was the case. And besides, you know, you did have your moment. I mean, we did at City try to let you go through to take it on board, but sadly, at the end of the day, no Christmas present for Alan Pardew and his men.
Yes, I've come to the conclusion I'd rather watch England play one day cricket.
Oh, that's something John Wenham will certainly find of most intriguing interest in all sorts of ways. And, of course, John busily working on the festive events guide, well, the current sort of thing, before he again, like the Midweek Drive Morning Edition, takes a two-week sojourn from the excitement that is Siren 107.3 FM. Ian, are you all set for Christmas? Are you all sorting through, or is it just a case of, no, you know, I'm sorry, Christmas, bar humbug, it's been cancelled this year?
Well, my family, I've got four kids and they all enjoy Christmas, so...
Oh, well, that's all right, then.
I put a happy smile on and indulge in them.
Exactly.
I'm going for a meal with my eldest daughter. Well, the whole family's going there, so... It means I don't have to cook anything, which is a relief to everybody.
So, whether you know, it's just a case of there's nothing wrong with cooking as long as you actually don't poison people. That's the important thing. You know, don't poison them. Make sure it's cooked well. We might find out from William Sitwell some of those kind of things in the second part of the programme. We may not, because I know William said he might be doing all sorts of other things. But Emma Tinson will hopefully be joining us. Richard McCourt will be with us as well. And Melanie Gow, inspirational writer and photographer, will be with us too. We'll also be talking about one half of the comedy duo, well, not about, but with one half of the comedy duo Dick and Dom, about his involvement with the fantastic Alzheimer's Friends group. So that's all still to come. Plus, we'll be talking about a few other things with Dr. Dawn Harper from Embarrassing Bodies. So quite a lot to pack into the programme. Are you multitasking once again, Phil? Are you doing the pots and pans whilst doing this fabulous phone link?
Am I?
Well, I don't know.
I've just set my robot vacuum cleaner on in the hall. Oh. Went over here. Yes.
Your robot vacuum cleaner?
Yeah.
I thought that was the wife. Oh,
it has
sorry.
A mind of its own. It's on some sort of settings, and it suddenly goes off in the middle of the night.
Well, you see, you know, if you will actually entrust things to artificial intelligence, that's exactly what we'll find. Did you catch any of those top 10 festive jokes, though? And were there any of them that kind of made you feel, well, that's mildly a scenario? I mean, why is the Great British Bake Off like the Nativity? Because the star is in the east. It was a little favourite of mine.
Right, there are, these things go on at Christmas crackers as well, don't they?
Yeah.
Collective groans, but everybody seems to self-indulge in them every Christmas, so they must have some purpose.
Exactly.
But the other thing has happened, well, I guess, anyway, is some of my friends send me these jokes on the internet.
Oh.
They email you, and they've got about 20 jokes, some of these things.
They're not the friends from South Korea or North Korea, are they?
No. Anyway, they're all very funny, but there's so many of them, it just sort of, you get sort of...
Enough,
you know.
Yeah. Well, it's like any kind of, you know, too much sweetness, it needs a bit of sour. You need to balance the whole thing, counterbalance the whole thing. I'm very tempted to actually say we could play you what for me is the saddest ever Christmas song, just to come, but I thought, no, I'm going to hold that back, because Ian, you've already gone through the pain of Newcastle and England, so I feel you can't wait. So we'll stick with the original plan, which is your chance to have a little Christmas commentary on the Cameron Tilbury selection. Phil Vassar is the gentleman's name that Cameron put forward yesterday, and it's Let's Make a Little Christmas Tonight. I'm not sure grammatically whether it's a case of let's make, as in papier-mâché and various other sort of creative things that you actually create at Christmas, whether you're talking about size of Christmas, whether it's just a little bit of Christmas magic. But anyway, I'll leave it to you, Ian. Are you ready to actually have a listen to this from Phil Vassar and comment on it afterwards?
Yes, I am. I'm waiting.
And bustle is over my life. So baby, let's make a little Christmas tonight. Let's make a little Christmas tonight.
A euphemism. Never mind. Phil Vassar, let's make a little Christmas tonight. What say you to that little invitation, Ian Lennox?
Each to his own, I think.
Nice. Yeah, I see where we're going.
And
say no more. That's each to his own. That sums it up, really.
Is that polite?
That you nailed it.
Yeah. Exactly. The only Christmas song I ever really liked was the Slade song about 30 years ago.
Well,
I can't remember the title now.
Oh, please. You know, I mean, to actually... I mean, Noddy Holder will be devastated to know that Dave Hill and the Don Powell and Jimmy Lee, you know, they actually... You know, you've forgotten this. I mean, please, Ian, for goodness sakes. Merry Christmas, everybody. Lord above. Ian Lennox, have you enjoyed your 2014 phone links with us on the Midweek Drive? Have they all been okay for you?
Yes, they have.
Including the gap when you went off to Canada. So can we look forward to welcoming you again in 2015 to keep the series going?
Certainly can.
Ian Lennox from everyone at Siren. And because I don't actually have your address again, I must have temporarily mislaid it. That's a heck of an excuse. He could have sent an email. We'll get the card to you, I'm sure, by March. Have a great Christmas. Have a great Christmas time. All the very best to your good self, all in Tyneside, Arthur McKenzie, the rest of the team, and from Slade, Merry Christmas, everybody. Sing along, Ian. Sing along. Bye-bye now.
Thanks, Alex.
I was never going to play Merry Christmas Everybody by Slade, but when Ian Lennox, our Tyneside correspondent, puts in such a plea for the whole sequence, how can we possibly resist? Besides, it would have just been Christopher and a spaceman came travelling. If you've just tuned in, you will have missed Brice Dessau, our comedy critic and ace comedic expert. Ian Lennox has mentioned from Tyneside doing fantastic stuff as ever. Richard Fitzwilliams with another top review of movies across the festive season and more. And of course, Gabriella Peralta, our girl arrived from Gibraltar. But it gets even better now because, as promised, online. And just such a quick hello before we go to the news, we've got ace inspirational writer and photographer extraordinaire. That would be the fabulous Melanie Gow. Good morning, Melanie. How are you?
Oh, good morning, Alex. That is just the loveliest intro to wake up to ever.
We like to feel that it's approaching 9 o'clock. It's important we keep ourselves in tip-top position, lunch as you have with your fantastic book, which we'll talk about after the news, and all sorts of magical things still just in time to actually order before Christmas. But there's a whole heap of other goodies as well. Melanie, stay with us. News coming up from the Sky News Centre, and we'll be back with you in about 2.5 minutes from now, if that's okay.
Look forward to it.
Hello, this is Claire Balding and you're listening to the Midweek Drive on Siren FM.
Thank you very much, Claire. Moving on, the weather, highs of 13 degrees centigrade, lows of 5 degrees centigrade, cloudy and mild with patchy light rain or drizzle. As we say, perfect festive weather. It's all in the mind, isn't that right, Melanie Gow? Yes. Yes, exactly.
Your entire existence is in the mind. Well,
precisely.
I mean, I'm just in your mind right now. But then that's because you're listening to radio, of course. Oh, yeah.
And that's the sort of surreal, wonderful world of Melanie Gow, photographer extraordinaire. I was obviously moved to share the delights of your previous interview with BBC Radio Scotland and Shireen Nanjiani, which, of course, is going to be broadcast on Saturday morning, because that's always very important for that body of view. And it obviously prompted us in our, not quite review of the year, but look back over some of our own personal highlights in terms of folk that have made a startling impact on us. And, you know, a few years ago, that's Tallulah Randall. This year, of course, is your good self, Melanie, and doing fantastic stuff there. But share with our listener once again this fantastic, inspirational, genuinely inspirational piece that you actually did, where you decided to take both your sons and go off on a pilgrimage.
Well, of course, for us, it was just a very long walk. But if you go on a long walk, it turns out to be a pilgrimage of sorts. And you don't have to be religious, of course, to do it. It's an internal journey as much as an external. But we were watching a film called The Way, which is a very unexciting film about middle-aged people walking and talking, and a fictionalized account of a man who does this walk after his son dies in the attempt. And it is essentially, it was a film that was very, for me, as a mother, wasn't really the sort of thing my two sons, who are 16 and 12, that would normally watch. But weirdly, they kind of went silent through the whole film, and that was only broken as the end credits rolled, and they said, we want to do that. Mm-hmm. And you know, there are those moments when you want to do something with no reason, no explanation, you just have to do it. Well, that was their tone. And I kind of just looked at them and thought, well, I'm going to have to parent daringly. That's my job. Mm. Step up to the plate and let's just walk the talk. So that's without much idea of literally how hard it would be. We showed up sort of 19 hours later and not 19 hours after watching the film. It took us 19 hours to get to France to start the walk over the Pyrenees and across Spain for 800 kilometres. And it took us 33 days and several life-challenging moments, and throughout all of that, it was extraordinary because I went to give my sons a space to decide what kind of men they wanted to be, and in leading them, I was transformed. That was possibly the most surprising thing to come out of it.
Epic 500-mile trek. Lovely quote, actually, if I can just raise this for the moment. Don't raise your kids to have more than you have. Raise them to be more than you are, to have more serenity at their core, but to be strong in their hearts, to be soft in their touch, but truly resolute, purposeful and determined in a beautiful, measured way, in a world that can seem more incendiary and unpredictable, sad and unknowable. Parent daringly for wise, resourceful, fully engaged and centred children who will delicately nurture this earth of ours. And that's kind of the partnership strategy that, again, featured on your Facebook page, and obviously within the Walking with Angels text. You talked about parenting daringly. I mean, you know, for those of us who don't have children, you might sort of be either terrified by the notion of having children, or you think, well, what the hey? But either way, it's an adventure.
It really is an adventure, Alex. And I pretty much, like everybody else, figured everyone else is doing this. How hard can parenting be? And that's not one of those how hard can it be not the moment. But it turns out it's the biggest idea you can have, or at least one of the biggest ideas. And it very much, as soon as I had them, I felt that they were going to teach me as much as I could possibly teach them. And I was going to, they were going to shape me. And, you know, 16 years later, they've got me well trained.
Well, as frequently said, parents can be very difficult to bring into the world. And that's a thought to actually ponder. Worth contemplating. In terms of the next step, because I mean, clearly the book itself is sensational. It is available. You can actually go to obviously all the online stores. Walking with Angels by Melanie Gow. That's the line from that. The true story of one woman's inspirational walk with her sons, aged 12 and 16, for 33 exceptional days over the Pyrenees and across Spain for 800 kilometres to Santiago de Compostela. Pronunciation just about right from that point of view. We talked about, obviously, your sons are going to be doing another sort of thing without your good self, but I mean, are you looking to 2015 and thinking, yeah, I fancy doing what Fien Heel, our Belgium correspondent, actually did, in cycling from Miami up to the Canadian border?
Well, I am facing that appalling thought that my children may go on to live an independent life without me. You know, I know.
No, that's genetical DNA. Exactly.
I know. Having brought them up to be resourceful and engaged and, you know, wise, I face the consequences. So I am. We are looking at doing something together, but obviously my oldest is right in the middle of A levels, and he will then be doing something like a gap year or a gap month or the thing he's meant to do on his own. So I am actually looking at perhaps doing something like the Salt Road.
Well,
I'm thinking I'll do the Salt Road, or alternatively, my father asked my eldest if he would take his ashes back to where he was born, which was in Kenya, East Africa, and we may fulfill that promise. And that would be a way of finding out where we came from, and might take my children back to where I came from. Well, where their roots are, to a certain extent.
And as we've frequently said, in terms of inspiration, it's where you find it, but it's also opening up a whole range of things. And on a week where we carry the story of the possibility of methane-based life being found on Mars, maybe it's a case of, you know, we are children of the stars and stardust in every sense of the word. But that's going back a wee bit further than perhaps we were thinking about, because as Carl Sagan once said, we are some of the things that hydrogen atoms can evolve to, given several billion years of cosmic evolution. Just another thought. Melanie, in terms of the overall sort of sequence, as you said, you clearly are you still doing your talks? Because we've had lots of sort of updates in terms of your inspirational talks to go along with the books, of course.
Do you know what, Alex? I mean, this is an interesting part of this. Of course, I never planned any of this. And so I am eternally grateful for all of the opportunities that are coming my way. And I, in fact, have got a growing tour of talks coming up over the next year, so I'm afraid I'm going to be talking about this for the months to come.
I think what we could do is actually do a regular series where we actually sort of find an update as to, in terms of where we can actually find your good self in that particular sort of time and space existence, really, you know, as you tour the country. sort of thinking there might be a way of sort of working that into the system, because I can already sense people saying, we need more Melanie Gao. We need more Melanie Gao. It's chanting out in all sorts of ways. So clearly that's a line we must be looking for from that point of view.
Anyway. Well, if anybody wants to hear a talk, I will literally talk at retreats and halls and schools and any conventions in an office. It really, I am very open to any invites. So if anybody would like to talk, I am walking the country now. That would be fantastic.
Well, and of course, literally, you said in an office. You can go to myofficetoday.co.uk to actually find the sort of setup up there. So there we are. It's the usual three W's, myofficetoday.co.uk. Special mention for Lala Woods, because she'd also sort of said she would be tuning into this whole sequence. If not, she could always listen to the podcast. But we have an interesting challenge for you now, Melanie. It's something I've been umming and ahhing about. So far, it's been stepped to one side by our correspondent from Gibraltar this morning. What for me is probably the saddest ever Christmas song, in all sorts of ways. Just really, really sad. But at the same time, I feel maybe we should actually take the challenge and actually play it in any case. That is on offer, or alternatively, we can provide you with Christopher and A Spaceman Came Travelling. Not the saddest Christmas song, but a different sort of line. So which one would you like to test the waters with? I mean, clearly, if we go down the line of the saddest ever Christmas song, we need to come back to you to find out some sort of inspirational thing to work us through that. I mean, but it's entirely up to your good self.
My sons would never let me live it down if I didn't make the hard choice, Alex.
Well,
saddest song.
The saddest song. Okay, well, box of tissues possibly at the ready. It's Nat King Cole.
I'm so sorry for that laddie. He hasn't got a daddy. The little boy that Santa Claus forgot.
We'll talk about the M. Scott Peck Road Less Travelled. Astounding. Melanie Gao, you took that line. Heartrending.
Well,
exactly.
Life is a brief shot at something incredible.
Precisely.
Have to take it.
Exactly. That's right. And if you are the little boy that's... I mean, I suppose the one unanswered question is, if you go home to last year's broken toys, why did you break them? You know, that's unfortunate. If you hadn't broken them, maybe Santa Claus wouldn't have forgotten, would you? Still, just a point. You know, violence doesn't solve anything at the end of the day. So just sort of work through that basis. Anyway,
maybe toys are not what Christmas is about.
Well, exactly, precisely. You know,
the quote, the Grinch.
Exactly.
Maybe Christmas is about something more.
Precisely. This is the whole message of the whole scenario through the whole system. But Melanie, it's been absolutely sensational touching base with your good self. Coming up, we're going to be speaking to Richard McCourt, one half of the comedy duo Dick and Dom, together with George McNamara, the head of policy and public affairs for the Alzheimer Society. Emma Tinson will be joining us from Surrey to let us know how Surrey's preparing for the festive season. And we'll be speaking to Dr. Dawn Porter, or Dawn Harper, I should say, all about the best holiday destinations to actually go. Because astoundingly, Melanie, and I thought this is amazing from this point of view, there are issues about how we miss the sun in the winter months. Amazing. We do. And Dr. Dawn Harper will be talking about that and more, together with possibly a holiday expert from BA. Marvellous. Destinations with the most sunshine, destinations with the most best temperatures in winter, and predictions for the best places to go in 2015. Never mind. Melanie, it's been absolutely sensational touching base with good self and sharing the co-presentational duties with you for the first quarter of the last hour of the Midweek Drive Morning Edition for 2014, before we actually launch in 2015 a whole new series. Will you be able to join us in 2015 for more Midweek Drive magic on Siren 107.3 FM and Southside Broadcasting?
I always love being invited by you, Alex, and you have the most amazing guests and a wonderful life. So yes, please.
Well, that's fantastic. And I take it then, reversing the questions, you've had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today.
An absolutely stunning one. Thank you very much indeed. Well, looking forward to hearing the podcast.
A spaceman came traveling on tawny ship from afar. 'Twas light years of time since his mission did start, and over